Charlotte Talks just marked its 22nd year on the air on WFAE. When the show launched, Charlotte was wrestling with growth, the role of race in public schools, transportation. There were big bank mergers, and the country was headed toward a presidential impeachment. The more things change, huh? What hasn't changed is the importance of listeners' financial support. Click the donate button at WFAE.org or call 704-549-9000. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. The 4th of July weekend is upon us, marking the height of the summer season, and normally that means vacations, travel, hotel stays. In this time of COVID-19, and after being cooped up for months, a lot of people are eager to get out and go, but can they? Should they? Where can you go? What can you do safely? We spend the rest of the hour talking about that. Whit Tuttle is Vice President for Tourism at the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina and Executive Director of Visit NC. Good morning to you.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. And to help us with the health aspect of vacationing this summer, we've invited Dr. Kyle Cunningham to join us. He's a trauma surgeon with Atrium Health. Thank you for joining us. You've been up all night, right?
That's correct. Trauma does not sleep.
Okay. The first question I'm going to give to you, doctor, because this question may end this segment prematurely and we'll have to play music for the rest of the hour, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because this is not a normal summer. And most of us all around the nation, including North and South Carolina and Georgia, are experiencing surges in the cases of COVID-19. Should we be going anywhere on vacation, even for a weekend, in this environment?
Well, I think everybody needs to weigh the risk with their own personal lens. People are willing to accept different levels of risk, and everybody's risk is a little bit different depending on what your health status may be. So the short answer to that is probably that it's going to be up to each person to decide what's right for them. But certainly there are things that you can do that are perfectly safe, and you're not going to be without options on vacation. And I'm sure Whit will get into that as well.
Because Dr. Francis Collins, who's the health director of the National Institutes of Health, says just because you're getting antsy doesn't mean it's time to break your quarantine or travel. And in fact, he had a vacation planned to a beach in South Carolina, which he has canceled, saying that everybody should make their own benefit risk calculation. You kind of alluded to the risks of this a second ago, Dr. Cunningham. Did he make the right choice in canceling that trip to South Carolina?
Yeah, without knowing his own personal health profile, I would just say that I think whatever choice people choose to make with that, unless they go wild, they're making the right decision. There are things that you need to do if you do travel, and that certainly includes, in my opinion, you should be wearing a mask, you should be maintaining social distancing, washing hands frequently, all the things you would typically do under a quarantine. There are some options to still to go about having some fun this summer and be safe.
So Whit Tuttle is with us, and he's in charge of tourism. That's what his job is, to make sure people come here and enjoy themselves. Tourism revenues are down $6 billion in North Carolina, about $200 million in state tax revenues, also down because of a lack of tourism since the start of this pandemic. What has that done to tourist areas in this state, Whit, at the mountains and the beaches, and how are they responding?
Yeah, you know, in some spots, it's been really devastating, and not just the mountains and the beaches, also cities like Charlotte, you know, that meetings and business travel fuel their economy. So we've seen up to 60% unemployment in the industry, and, you know, we employ about 500,000 people across the state. So it's been devastating, really devastating in some communities. And there's some businesses that have closed that just aren't going to be able to open. They won't come back.
Your organization, Visit NC, has launched a safety campaign for people thinking about going on vacation. Is it for vacationers, or is it for businesses, or is it for both?
Yeah, it's really for everybody. It's for residents who we want to travel. People in North Carolina are going to have to travel to get the economy going back again, but we want them to do it in a safe way. And we want the businesses that they're going to do the right things as well to help them keep everybody safe. So, you know, I agree with all that Kyle said. Not everybody should be traveling right now. And we want the people who do travel to do it in a safe and healthy way to prevent this from spreading. Because the worst thing we could have happen is for everybody to go out and go to the same spots and act like knuckleheads and then have us have to shut everything down again.
I read this morning in the paper that Greenville, South Carolina has launched something not unlike what you're doing that the governor of South Carolina hopes the rest of that state will adopt. You call yours the Count on Me NC Pledge. What is that? Who's making the pledge?
That's right. So it's countonmenc.org if anybody wants to look it up. And consumers can make a pledge. So if you're a resident and you're thinking about traveling, you can go on there. And it has instructions, things to do, you know, when you shouldn't travel, what some of those risks are that Kyle was talking about. And so you can take that pledge and say, hey, if I've been exposed, if I've got a fever, I'm not going to travel. I'm going to quarantine. And you make that pledge and you get a little badge. It's like one of those little hello, my name is so-and-so badges. And then businesses can do it too. But with the businesses, we've really got public health and food safety experts that have done 5 different training programs. All for all different types of businesses to show them the proper way to operate, to deal with food safety, to deal with cleaning and sanitization, and how to deal with their staffs, you know, temperature checks, people having masks, all those kind of things. So they take those courses and they get certified, and then they can have the badge as well. So if you're a little anxious about going out, you can go to countonmenc.org and you can look, we have a list of the participating businesses. And so if you stay in one of those businesses, you know, they cared enough to take this course and take the time to do it and get certified.
Your job is to get people to travel. But right now you say your job is to get people to travel the right way, which I guess would mean masks and washing your hands and social distancing. People won't even do that while they stay home in a lot of areas. It's become so political. So how do you get them to do that on vacation, where people are coming from all parts of the world?
Right. Well, and that's why I think it's important that places like South Carolina start doing this as well, because we're all interconnected. You know, we can do everything right, and those people that are going down to Myrtle Beach and acting like knuckleheads are driving through North Carolina. So it impacts us all. We really all need to do it. And so the approach we're taking is comedy. You'll see, we're going to have a whole ad campaign. It starts tomorrow. Count on Me NC, and we've got a jingle, and we're trying to get people to do it, and we've kind of taken a funny approach to it with a little animated character, and we really hope that, you know, we can say, hey, you know, we're all in this together, let's do it the right way. But we're not trying to pressure people, we're just trying to enforce that it's a good idea, and you're really helping everybody when you do it.
Well, as an old radio guy, if you got a jingle, then everything's fine in your world. Governor Cooper, in consultation with health professionals, decided not to move on from phase 2 to phase 3. I think it was last week. And so now we're in phase 2 longer than planned till July 17th. Phase 2 recommends staying at home when possible and limiting non-essential travel. Doesn't that imply eliminating vacation travel, at least through July 17th.
Yeah, I think that it would imply that. The other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, as Whit counts on, a lot of people coming here from out of the area where maybe their governor hasn't imposed those restrictions. So I think, you know, we have to have a little bit of awareness of what we're seeing. And certainly, you know, we see in trauma that a lot of the stuff we see certainly passing through Charlotte isn't necessarily people from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. We have people from out of the area that still travel through for essential and unfortunately non-essential business and pleasure as well. So we have to be prepared for that. And I think just to continue to keep in mind normal safety measures that we would do. So right now we're, you know, worried about masks and hand washing and social distancing, but in order to be safe and really promote safety, we still need to promote the typical things that we would, you know, keeping your kids safe in car travel, making sure you're using your safety belt. And then once you reach your destination, any kind of safety precautions that are going into place for activities that you plan on doing. So, you know, for us at the time we're seeing a spike in cases, I would agree that in consultation with our public health officials, they made the right call on that. But that doesn't limit everything, as we know, and unfortunately, as we see in trauma.
So let me get your take on that, Whit, because you're in the business of promoting tourism, but the governor's saying stay home when you can. So does it make sense? Are we once again sending out mixed messages?
Well, I think the message is you are safer at home. And one of the things we've seen is that the research shows people are not just afraid to travel, they're afraid of travelers coming into their communities as well. And we're known for our hospitality, so it's very dangerous for us if we have people traveling and people don't want them there. We don't want them to get that negative reception when they come in. So it's really important for us that residents of the state feel comfortable traveling in their own community. And even if traveling is just going out to that restaurant that's in your own neighborhood, even if you get it to go, or feeling comfortable going to the store, or when you do go to the store, doing it the right way, or going to a local museum or to a park or things like that. So, you know, our first goal with travel is to get people comfortable and getting them to do it the right way, even if it's just a staycation and they're doing it in their own town. And we're okay with them doing that right now, because I think we got to get people trained sort of to do things the right way before we can really open up and hope that they do start traveling further and staying longer.
I was on your website yesterday, Visit NC. They've listed state parks, sites within the National Park Service system, including the Blue Ridge Parkway, Cape Hatteras, and Cape Lookout National Seashores, state forests, and national forests as destinations with various restrictions in place. So how should potential vacationers regard that?
Yeah, it's very important, I think, these days that people know before you go. You know, things have changed and things are changing really rapidly. You know, as we've said, the governor had planned to go to phase three. We pulled that back. So we recommend that people, you call the lodging if you're going to stay somewhere. A lot of people make reservations in advance, but you should call right before you go to make sure if things have changed, if they haven't changed. You can go to visitnc.com. We've got a COVID advisory page up there that you saw that lists all the restrictions that we know. Because even though the state rules are the same, different counties have different rules they can add to and sometimes have other restrictions. So I think it's important that people know what they can do and what they can't.
If there's good news for people in your profession and for people in the tourism industry in North Carolina, it is that your options for where to go have been reduced this year. If you live here, you're not going to New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut because they demand a 14-day quarantine once you get there. I'm not sure how they're going to enforce that, but nonetheless, that's what they're doing. Europe has shut the doors to Americans. You can't get there from here. Canada has shut their doors to Americans because our cases are so out of whack. Myrtle Beach is now considered a hotspot for COVID-19. Disneyland and Disney World have shut their doors. Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale are closing their beaches for the 4th of July weekend and maybe longer, who knows. Where can people go, Whit?
Oh, there are still lots of places to go. But I think, you know, while that's good for us and we're positioned really well, it could also be a problem, because what we don't want is everybody that's cooped up in the city to think, oh, I want to get away. And they go to that same exact spot on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And then we've just moved the problem from a urban area to this rural area. So we've started a program called Outdoor NC, where we're working with the Leave No Trace group, the private nonprofit, and we're trying to get people spread out to the rural areas of North Carolina. You know, we have 41 parks in the state, and they're amazing, and some of them don't get hardly any visitation. So what I recommend to people is try and go someplace you haven't been to or that you haven't heard of, and you can find all that information on visitnc.com. You know, you can do a Google search, visitnc.com, and off the beaten path attractions. We've got three or four stories about places not a lot of people know about, but that are fantastic, whether they're hikes or really weird different attractions. And there's another site called project543.com that has hundreds of things that are unique to North Carolina that most people don't know about.
Dr. Cunningham, let's start close to home, because as he said, we'd like you to people want to stay close to home during these vacations. I think you said that, Whit. We're supposed to be wearing masks. We're supposed to be practicing social distancing. We're supposed to be washing our hands a lot. So given all those restrictions, Doctor, what kinds of activities would you recommend for people wanting, if not to vacation, at least to change up their lives for a couple of days after being stuck at home? What can we do?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I see outlets such as yours put out things in the resurgence of certain industries, even, such as, you know, drive-in movies, people getting outside, enjoying the outdoors. You know, the outdoors is much safer than being indoors. You tend to get better airflow. As long as you're maintaining social distancing, you can be out and about in areas where you're quite open and spread out. So You know, the city has some great things going on where they've managed to close or limit some access to some roadways to increase the more or less the green space for people to get out and go. So, you know, I've seen large numbers of people out on bikes compared to what we normally see. People exercising more during this time and taking advantage of the quarantine. So there are a lot of things that people can do to change up their normal routine that I think are a benefit both in terms of providing some adventure and benefiting people's health.
Is it safe, Doctor, to go boating on, say, Lake Norman or Lake Wylie or to have a picnic or to rent a house with people outside your immediate family that live with you in your home? Or should you just stick together?
So clearly we recommend sticking amongst your normal group is safe. And I think that's what they're really trying to do with a lot of the social distancing and early on with the recommendations for phase two. Keep in mind, phase two was written very early in COVID. So some of those restrictions may be stronger than others that are included as part of phase two right now. So you really have to weigh that risk. And I think it's part of the maybe some of the mixed messaging you're seeing, you know, coming from administration or other bodies.
Because those restrictions were written, as you said, early in phase two, does that make them unnecessary or were they not strong enough?
Well, you're probably going to see a little bit of both as we move forward and we learn more. You know, there are certain things as we find out that are more effective. You know, I think now the mandate to wear a mask is showing more and more effective and social distancing more and more effective. And that's why you keep seeing those messages driven home again and again across the spectrum of people advocating for it. So, you know, there may be some other things such as certain restrictions that are going to be loosening a bit. I think as we learn more about the disease process, you know, what applies and who it applies to is probably going to continue to evolve. So we just need to stay abreast of it.
Is it safe for you and your family to swim at your neighborhood pool?
Yeah, so the CDC actually has recommendations on this that show that it's not transmitting through chlorinated water. So, you know, it certainly would seem as long as you're maintaining other measures of safety, maintaining appropriate distance from other swimmers, outside the pool, making sure you're wearing a mask, using proper hygiene when attending the restrooms, then, you know, the pool should certainly be safe.
But we know that projecting with your voice, speaking loudly, can spread the droplets further than they would be spread normally, even when you're talking. And you're not going to wear a mask in a pool. Kids tend to yell in swimming pools or around swimming pools. Mm-hmm. That is not a problem in a swimming pool? Is the chlorine killing the virus in 30 seconds or less?
Yeah, so the first thing that would be obvious is the chlorine. The other thing is if you're maintaining appropriate social distance, that spread should not be an issue.
More things you can and cannot do, places to go in North Carolina as we go through the rest of this hour. I have so many questions. You'll have to stay till 3 o'clock this afternoon, but we'll try to get them all in the next 20 minutes or so. Dr. Kyle Cunningham is with us from Atrium Health and Whit Tuttle from Visit NC. We're coming right back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Dr. Kyle Cunningham joins us. He's a trauma surgeon from Atrium Health. Whit Tuttle is Vice President for Tourism for the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina and the Executive Director of Visit NC. And we're talking about things you can do, where you can go, should you go on vacation. A lot of people want to stay close to home. I think you've said this in your writing, Whit. For Charlottians, what are the options? What's close to Charlotte that people can still do that's still open?
Oh, there's a lot of great stuff. You know, the beauty of Charlotte is it's right near the mountains. You can get up really easily out into the mountains, do some hikes. You could go to Chimney Rock Park. You could go, I think a really neat thing that I've heard is an area in Morganton, North Carolina, where they've created a concept called a streetery. So what they've done is they've shut off some of the downtown streets to automobile traffic, and they're allowing the restaurants to expand out into that open space. So people can dine, not have to get it to go, but they can be outside. As we all have seen, I think being outside is a better situation to prevent the spread of the virus. So we've seen them do that. really neat. And also, if you want to head over to the coast, I know Wilmington is doing that as well. They call it Downtown Alive, and they're shutting off a big part of their downtown to motor traffic to allow those restaurants to expand out into the streets.
I believe I'm right in saying I'm a little confused because every area of the country, and I've been watching a lot of news, has different rules about dining. But, Doctor, I think we're at 50% capacity indoors, and people can dine outdoors, and a lot of restaurants are participating in takeout. I think McDonald's just went nationally to takeout only to keep their dining rooms closed. So if you're on vacation, Doctor, would you eat in a restaurant? And if you were going to eat at a restaurant outdoors, how would you approach the social distancing aspect? How would you judge whether or not your table is far enough away from another table?
So my answer is pretty straightforward to that. I like to eat, so yes, I would. I also like to be outdoors, so I like to take this time to do some great picnicking and get out. So I will tell you that when I head out there, for me, so supporting restaurants often means takeout right now. And it means some great time with the family because we get out and we get to eat some unique locations that we may not otherwise eat outdoors, eat the backyard, just something to change it up and keep it fresh. In terms of your question about social distancing, I would just say that for me, the same rules would apply. So making sure I'm keeping at least that 6 feet apart from me and, you know, the next unrelated person I have, certainly the next table. And I've heard and seen that's out there, it seems that businesses are trying to comply with that. And they're doing their best to make sure that they're keeping people safe. I certainly am looking forward to certification programs like Witz Group is setting up to where, you know, there's an outreach going on to these restaurants and making sure that they're doing everything that they can do and knowing that they're doing it right.
Unless you're carrying a camping, a travel trailer, or you're going to set up a tent in the woods someplace with you and your family, Witt. Whether you're traveling by plane or car, how do you choose a destination? How do you know that the destination for accommodations that you've chosen is safe?
Yeah, I think that's a tough call, and a lot of it's individual. We're seeing a lot of people are turning to vacation rentals because they believe that's more private. You've got more space. Theoretically, they would probably have less turnover, and several rental companies are keeping places that open at least 24 hours between when they're rebooked. But the national hotel chains are also doing programs and cleaning programs. So I think the best thing is research, you know, look into that destination, see what they're saying, see what the situation is with the virus there. And do a lot of planning. If you plan in advance, that's the best thing to do.
Does your Count On Me NC pledge, which both people on vacation take and both and those in the industry take, if you've taken that pledge and you've gotten that little badge you talked about, does that mean as a consumer looking for a motel or a hotel or a B&B that I can rest assured that they understand the rules of cleaning and hygiene and separation, and that I can be fairly secure that when I walk into my room, I'm not going to get the virus?
Yeah, you can be sure that they've taken the time to take the course and go through that course. It's got to be a manager or an owner that takes it for them to get the certification. We can't guarantee everything. And as I've started a lot of conversations with the last few months, I am not a lawyer. So
what questions should we ask? I mean, if I'm going to book a hotel or a motel or someplace to stay, what questions should I ask those people about what precautions they're taking?
Yeah, I would ask what their occupancy rate has been, because if they're, you know, if they're at 50% occupancy, there's a good chance they're not filling every room every night, and you could get a room that hasn't been filled. I would ask them how they've updated their cleaning procedures, and I would make sure they're following the rules, you know, make sure they're wearing masks. I have a friend who actually brought her mother back from Arizona, and they actually left a few hotels because when they arrived, the hotel they had booked at, they could see people weren't wearing masks behind the counters, or they saw things that they thought didn't feel right to them. So they would just go down the road. The beauty of this is there's a lot of open hotels and rentals out there. So you could be pretty choosy.
So, Doctor, every hotel, one presumes, changes the sheets between guests and changes the towels and does some sanitary operation around the bathroom, etc. Should they be changing the comforters and the pillow, not the pillowcases that are the sheet pillowcases, but all the soft surfaces that you touch? Should they be changing them, or do we know that the virus isn't going to survive on those surfaces?
Yes, so soft surfaces are kind of a what I would consider a soft call. So you would hope that things have been in contact with people at a high risk, that stuff has been changed out. It gets into your travel policies and kind of what risk you're willing to accept. I don't know the answer to that with comforters. But certainly changing out things in immediate contact, wiping out hard surfaces. And then if you're going to be staying in that environment, making sure you're still following general hygiene yourself. So washing your hands frequently, avoid touching your eyes, your nose, which can be a challenge with a mask as they shift. You want to make sure you're adjusting that as well. But again, just general hygiene you're on the right track.
So what I'm hearing here is it's on the traveler, a lot of it's on the vacationer. If you're uncomfortable, you should ask them to change the comforter and the blanket on the bed, just as they have changed the sheets. You should ask them to remove the throw pillows if you have a suite from the sofa, because you should ask them to do that. Is that what I'm hearing? And is that something that proprietors are willing and able to do?
Oh, yes, I definitely think so. And I think what we've learned is if you're not willing to make those accommodations for people, you're not going to survive the way the business is now. Mm-hmm. So many of these businesses are really struggling to get by. And so I think they understand the ones that are going to survive are the ones that do adapt and help people.
And you mentioned that a lot of hotels are lengthening the vacancy time between when a room is last occupied and when it is next occupied. And the reason for that is so that they can engage, allegedly, in deep cleaning of those rooms, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So that's one of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. They've come up with these guidelines working with the CDC. And so the thing is, in between stays, not during the stay, but in between different guests staying there, they're supposed to do a deeper cleaning to the hotel.
So some experts have said, Doctor, that camping is the safest option. Because as long as you put up your own tent and you stay with your family unit in that tent, other times you're outdoors in a campground, but that's the safest thing. But what would you tell people about the showers in campgrounds in this environment? And the public restrooms, for that matter, as you travel from point A to point B?
Yeah, so obviously I'm not going to tell people that they can't take a shower or that they shouldn't use a restroom. But again, I think afterwards, if you follow some general principles that hopefully everybody is following on their daily life before COVID became an issue, and you're washing your hands after you go to the restroom, they're maintaining a proper hygiene in these areas, that should not be an issue for you.
So yesterday, American Airlines decided it would go back to full flights, no more middle seat empty, etc. How risky is air travel at the moment? What's your take on it?
Yeah, so I can go first on this one. I don't know. In my opinion, I think air travel is still risky. I think as you go back to full occupancy, you just can't maintain social distancing, and that's a large number of people crammed into a small space. And at some point, you have to say it's risky behavior. And if I'm sitting there, I'm going to have to accept the risk of deciding to be there.
Is it riskier being in the aircraft where the air is circulated? I'm told that the filters are pretty good, but nonetheless, you can't control what the person next to you or behind you or in front of you is going to do if they cough or whatever and have the virus. Is it riskier in the aircraft, or is it riskier in the boarding zones and in the waiting areas and at the kiosks, etc.?
Yeah, I think all the above. I think if people are good about socially distancing in the waiting areas and the boarding zones, the same as you would in a line at maybe at a restaurant or in a waiting area here, we've employed practices here at the hospital to keep our hospital COVID safe. And then part of that includes social distancing in the waiting areas or for visitors coming and going. We've had visitors or restrictions on and off, depending on conditions in the community. And I would hope they would employ the same practices at the airport. In the plane, unfortunately, despite the great filters, you can't get that far away from the people right beside you.
I read yesterday, and I don't know if it's why it's true. Maybe you can tell me it is or it isn't, that if you're going to sit on an airplane, the best seat for you is the window seat as opposed to an aisle or a middle seat. Why would that be?
Yeah, I've read that as well. And, you know, without being an expert on airflow in the aircraft, I think it probably has to deal with the number of people you are interfacing with. So if you're at a window seat, you're locked into the people around you, whereas if you're in an aisle seat, people are egressing through the aisle during the flight to and from the restroom, and you're probably going to be exposed to more people.
Airlines like to tell us that they're doing a great job of cleaning the airplanes between flights, but sometimes flights land at certain airports. Some passengers leave, other passengers stay, new passengers join, and they go on to the next leg of the flight. Should those airplanes be completely evacuated when they land and re-cleaned before they go to the next trip?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That question, you have a simple trauma surgeon here, and that's beyond my expertise, I'm afraid.
All right. One of the things that you've noticed, Whit, is that people who are taking vacations are making them longer than they normally would. Instead of going for a weekend, they'll go for a weekend and a week. Or if you're going for a week, you're going for 2 weeks. Why?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing a lot of things, and I think the industry, tourism coming out of this is going to look different than it did going into it. And business, I think, is that way too. So what we're seeing, and I've heard this from all around the state, is that the average length of stay, particularly in vacation rentals and condos, has really expanded. Some people are staying a week and some people are staying even a month. And I think what's happened is so many people are working from home now, they don't have to go into the office, that the idea is, well, let's just go to the mountains or go to the coast or go to that cabin and be there for the whole week. And you know, if I've got to work, I'll do it sitting in the cabin, and the view from the balcony is much better than where I'm sitting right now, which is in my house staring at a wall.
So these hotels got to upgrade their Wi-Fi. Trust me on this. We have a lot of guests in hotels, and the Wi-Fi is notoriously not good. What has been the impact at the beaches and in the mountains? And has it been has the negative impact been felt equally in those tourist areas of North Carolina, Whit?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we came to a complete stop as far as tourism goes, and their economies are almost solely focused on tourism. So the impact, I think, at first in the mountains and the coast was way bigger than in the rest of the state, and more devastating. The interesting thing is, as we moved into phase two and people did start traveling a little more, they've recovered more quickly. And so we're seeing a lot of them, the struggle they're dealing with now is to tap the brakes and make sure people come back and go right. Because people want to go. I heard from one of the biggest vacation rental companies in the state that after we moved into phase two, they had their four biggest days ever as far as bookings. So I think they're coming back. And what we're seeing now is the areas in Piedmont that are typically getting business travel or meetings travel, corporations, meetings and events, they're the ones that are lagging behind now.
We know that a lot of places that people just go for the day, like amusement parks, Carowinds, Tweetsie Railroad, places like that are closed right now. That may change with phase three. If we get to phase three, we also know a lot of museums are closed. What about places like Winston-Salem, Old Salem, and the Biltmore House, et cetera?
Yeah, that's been tough, you know, and they've had to furlough a lot of employees, and they're trying to come back and find ways to do it. I think most people have taken the tack that, well, let's figure out a way we can do this safely and reopen slowly. So I think what you'll see with a lot of those places, they'll find a way to open up, and maybe they'll do tours of the grounds that are outside, or find things that they can do that aren't going to really increase the risk of the spread, try and open those and get as much going as quickly as possible until they can open everything else up.
We're in an uncertain period. We don't know if things will get better as we go into the fall. They might get worse. They might stay the same. Beaches and recreation areas could be closed at any time, depending upon conditions. So a lot of times when you book something, travel insurance doesn't cover things that were canceled because of unforeseen circumstances. How should you approach that in the time we have? About 20 seconds left. How should you approach booking if you don't know if you can actually take the trip?
Yeah, I would say don't purchase anything you can't afford to lose right now, and check with your insurance to make sure insurance is going to cover if it gets canceled due to this, because a lot of it doesn't, and that's been a big issue for the state and the country.
Doctor, very quickly, yes or no on travel, would you do it? Would you do it?
Yes, there are ways to still travel safely.
Okay. Dr. Kyle Cunningham, trauma surgeon from Atrium Health, Whit Tuttle, Vice President of Tourism and Economic at the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina and Executive Director of Visit NC. Thank you both for the hour. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.